This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. You know, I've gotten over the cold spell we had.
Uh-huh.
I did not think I would survive it, but I did.
Yeah.
And it's warming up.
Yeah, I know. It's like unless we get some kind of strange weather phenomenon that happens in the next several hours, we're going to have a warm, hot Christmas.
Isn't that terrific? We've never had one. I'm willing to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, little kids will actually be able to go outside and play with their Christmas things.
Yes, unless they got, like, a snow shovel or anything like that.
Not likely.
No, it's probably not going to
happen. Not likely. Oh, my gosh. Oh, let's give out the phone number.
Yeah, let's do.
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage, my favorite place.
And the website, of course, is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And this is all about making money, growing your money so you can retire early, comfortably, and wealthy.
As I always say, early and wealthy and happy.
That's what I mean.
Happy is the big deal.
Yeah.
If you get to retire early, you are happy.
Yeah, really.
Wow. Always.
So now...
And,
it's
you
funny.
Know, the people that invest with us, you know, a lot of them are retiring this year.
Yeah. You got several people that have retired, right?
I do. I've got several that retired in December, and they were all pretty excited. And now they're going to be even more excited. Not only the Whitworth policy that I've been talking to for about the last month, that money is now in everybody's accounts. That was $11 million.
Oh my.
We had 55 people in Whitworth.
Really?
Now let me tell you the even good news again. Lombardi, which we had several policies on the man, it was a 27-month policy.
Mm-hmm.
The man has passed away. The people have made 25% in 6 months.
6 months?
In 6 months. Don't know what happened to the man. He went into a coma, and he didn't last a month.
So it was supposed to be a 27-month policy, and it ended up being 6 months.
It was 6 months, and I do not know what happened. We haven't seen the death certificate. We won't probably be getting it for 2 or 3 weeks. But can you imagine? We had, by the way, we had 66 people in Lombardi.
Really?
Everybody, in fact, right there, we had trouble filling it right there at the last because we were running out of people because they were, a lot of them were already invested in a lot of other policies. So we were running out of people, you know, to put in them. And we had trouble filling that last little bit. I remembered it. And I remembered the man because it was an unusual name, Lombardi. But he did pass away. We notified everybody yesterday of his passing. So not only did they get paid on Whitworth, now they're going to get paid on Lombardi.
Wow.
This makes a great, great year for our clients.
Yeah, and to have 66 people in one large policy like that, that's just fantastic.
It is. They're all going to wish they had a lot more in it.
Yeah, I'm sure that was probably a very welcome surprise, you know, right at Christmas time and at the holidays to all of a sudden have that policy mature.
It was, because it's a very unusual to have one big policy, then another one right on top of it.
Yeah.
Lombardi total policies was $6 million that we had, And the Whitworth, as I said, was $11 million. So, you know, this is a lot of policy maturities, you know, right here at the end of the year.
That's $17 million just in those two policies alone.
That's right, $17
million. Wow.
Can you imagine if a person had been it? And our comptroller, the accountant for our company, was in Lambody.
Was he really?
He was in Lambody. He's pretty excited, too. This is the first time he has gotten to invest with us.
Wow.
So he was excited. You know, he'd been wanting to do it for a while, and he finally, you know, got his money loose where he could do it, and he did it. And I have a lot of people that this is going to, you know, really make them a lot of money for the end of the year.
Was this your controller's, was this his first time actually investing?
Yes. This is his first time. He had his money where he couldn't get to it, and he finally got it loose and put it in Lambody. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine his reaction when this is his first one, and he got a return like that.
I know. And to make that kind of money, you know, right here before Christmas, that's pretty unheard of.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't remember last year us having two big policies right at the end of the year. We had some big policies last year, but I don't remember them right at the last of the year like these two. We were not expecting Lambody at all. And, of course, Whitworth was a shock, you know, when he passed away. So people have made some good money with us this year.
I know
they really have.
The one policy was supposed to go 27 months and ended up maturing in six. What were you expecting? Like deep down inside, when you looked at the, you know, page 14, you looked at all the information, when did you realistically expect that to mature?
Well, this was not one of those that I thought would mature early. I'll be honest. You know, that other one early in the year, I predicted it. But this one, I had no prediction. I didn't think it was coming in early. I really thought, you know, it was going to go like 22, 24 months. And, you know, we had two opinions on it, really good people that gave us good opinions that are usually pretty right. So something extraordinary had to have happened to him with his sickness, I would say.
Wow.
And we don't know, but we know he went in a coma about 3 weeks ago, and they notified us. And I told someone in the office, I said, he went into a coma, he won't last a month. And he didn't even last a month. And so they notified us, you know, Tuesday, and we sent out notices to everybody yesterday where they would have this wonderful news, you know, before the holidays.
So when you initially looked at this policy, what was it that stood out to you that said, hey, we really need to get in on this?
Well, you know, anytime it's cancer, you know, there's various kinds of cancer, and I do not remember which one his is, by the way. But when I bought it, I'm sure I was thinking about the fact that it was going to be 22, 24 months, you know, which is short. And I thought, you know, that was going to be a good policy for a lot of people. And I told them so. A lot of people asked me, Faye, what do you think? I said, I love the policy. I think it's a good policy. We need to get in it. And, of course, everybody did. And now I know they're, you know, really, really glad they did. And we'll be reinvesting this money after the first of the year. And hopefully, if the weather stays good, we'll do it quicker than usual. As you know, sometimes that weather, you know, it gets us snowed in. But this year, it's looking good.
It looks like practically June right now.
I know it. And if we can just get through January, then we'll know that we're not having any snow.
Yeah, we're almost home free at that point.
That's exactly right. And we finally got all the cards out to everybody. That's an embarrassment. Usually the cards at our company go out the first week.
Uh-oh.
And this year they didn't go out the first week. I hate to say that. We were trying. And we finally had to call some extra help in to get them out. I don't know if something went wrong. And, you know, I don't know if it was the printing on them or what it was. But anyway, we were having a hard time. And Claudia finally got them all out. write it 700 cards.
Oh my!
That we had to sent out to our customers.
Well, yeah, I wasn't gonna guess about the printer. I was gonna just say that you were probably so busy making people money that you didn't have time to get the cards out.
Well, that's true too.
We'll go with that one.
You know, I like that. We are bidding on 45 different cases right now. 45 cases.
45 at one time?
Yes. I mean, every day this week, in the last 2 weeks, I've just been, every time they send me out, they'll send me four at a time, three at a time. And, and I get on them and then we bid them. And we've turned down a few, but not like usual. We bought one yesterday, $1.2 million, and it's 12 months.
Really?
And, and going to pay over 12%, by the way. Too.
Is that one full?
It will be probably by Tuesday.
Oh, wow. Can you tell me a little bit about that particular policy?
I can't tell you a lot about it. They just announced that we had gotten it, yesterday afternoon.
Okay.
And I'll have to go back and look it up. But I know it's 12 months, and I think it pays 15%.
Wow. So yeah. 45 policies that you're bidding on right now, it seems like it's a bit excessive. What would you think so,
but they just kept coming. And so we have just been bidding and bidding, but we know we won't get all of them. We never do. But that happens all the time.
Yeah. How many are you typically bidding on around this time of year at this time?
Usually you would think 10, 12, the week before Christmas. But as I said, we've got 45 bids out right now.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, remember last year, the hedge funds started bidding against us in January. And we didn't get the ones we should have got last January. And then we made up the spread on it in February of last year. And we're able to pull in all those good policies. But January of last year, we did not. It was a tough period because we were bidding everything in the world, but we were being outbid. The huge hedge funds had borrowed a lot of money, from their clients. I mean, they had $150 million.
Is that how it typically works? They tend to get a little top-heavy towards the beginning of the year. They blow all their budget at first part, and then they run out?
Yes. They'll come in, they'll just bid everything. They don't care what the policies are, how long they are, or really how good they are. They've got money, and they want to spend it. And they'll spend it all in 30 or 45 days. And then they're out of money, and they're filling all their coffers. And then it's a long time before they come back in. So then, we get busy, and we get a lot of policies after that. But I know that's what happened last year. And so we were slower, getting everything filled. But now that we've got this many bid early, we should have plenty, in January this year.
So there's going to be no shortage for your people to invest in.
Yeah, I think we'll be in a lot better shape after this this time. That's what I'm thinking.
So when about what time-ish should people start planning on coming to see you to get involved in whichever ones of the 45 you end up with? When will they be ready?
Well, I would think about the 12th, 15th, we should have all the paperwork back. Most people don't realize even when we get the bids, then we've got to get all the paperwork done and get it through legal and accounting, before we can present it to the clients.
Okay, so mid-January-ish through the holidays anyway.
Getting us through the holidays, yes, because everybody will be shut down. We're always closed between Christmas and New Year's. We always take that week off where that our employees, can have that time with their families.
Yeah.
Because we work hard all year, and that gives us that extra time.
Well, sure, a little chance to spend time with family and friends and get recharged, and then come back in January ready to go.
That's right. And, of course, now I'll be working part of next week, but the employees won't.
Well, with 45 bids out there, I'm sure you probably have a lot to do.
I do have a lot to do, and you know, it's a good time for me to get a lot of things done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because we won't be answering the phones and, you know, doing the things we usually do.
So that phone number, speaking of the phones, the phone number again.
Let's give out the phone number. It's 877-588-3330. And again, 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage. And everybody that's been shopping, they better already have everything bought, I guarantee, because it's getting hard to get things wrapped. It's getting hard to get a lot of things done right now.
Exactly. And the website, again, AmericanFinancialMidland.com. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Now, I'm guessing that when do people normally get like a Christmas bonus or an end-of-the-year bonus that they might be able to turn around and start reinvesting that with you?
Well, bonuses are usually paid after Christmas. Now, a few companies pay them the 1st of December, but right now bonuses are tight because of oil has been down for a year. So a lot of people, those bonuses are going to be a lot smaller this year, and some companies may even cut them out. But a lot of companies are still giving bonuses for the hard work these people have done. And they'll get those, should get those in January.
Okay, so, and it seems to line up right about the time that you're going to have a pretty good chunk of new policies ready to invest in.
Yes, we will. We'll have those, I think, about the 12th.
Okay.
We'll probably have those ready to go. And, of course, a lot of people, you know, they're going to retire. They're going to be bringing us their retirement money. They're going to be bringing those 401Ks over or their IRAs. And if anybody's got those CDs that are not paying but 1%, those people should be coming over, you know, right away.
Yeah.
They shouldn't even be thinking about it. They should just be getting rid of it and investing in something that will make them a lot more than a CD right now.
Yeah, it's just there's just not much profit there.
No, when you're making 1% and we're paying 1% a month,
yeah,
that's a big difference.
It's a no-brainer.
No, I mean, I wouldn't even think about it. I would certainly want to put some of my money, you know, and give it a try and see if you like it. I always tell people that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're hesitant about it, put some over and see if you like us. If you like us, then bring us the rest of the money and let's do it.
And you're not going to move forward with anybody until they're absolutely 100% comfortable with not only the process, but you and your organization and everything that's going on and, you know, the expectancy and what's going on with the actual policy. You're not moving forward until everybody's comfortable with all of it.
We're not. And if I think they're uncomfortable, I say, wait a minute, this might not be for you. You know, I mean, you've got to be comfortable in your own mind. And we've got to know that they've got money put aside for emergencies. I don't want to hear anything about anybody that says, well, we don't have emergency money. Well, then you cannot invest with us. Let's just face it right now. Because remember, there is risk. The risk is those policies could go over and you might have to pay the premium. And if you don't have money set aside, you might not have it. And then, of course, it is not liquid till the person passes away, you know, and that's your other risk. And so people, we want to make sure that they have got, you know, more than just this investment.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure they have more than that. And the people that invest with us do. You know, they're going to come in with $200,000, $300,000, you know, right off in order to do this with us.
The minimum, though. The minimum
is $100,000.
Okay.
As you know, it used to be $50,000. And I said, no, it might be their last $50,000, and we're just not going to do it. If we do $100,000, we know they've got other money. We know that these people are solid.
By bumping it up to $100,000, it makes it very clear that now you're moving into a different bracket of investor.
That's exactly what we did. We changed it from the small investor to the medium investor, where we know they've got other monies, and that's really important. Because I guarantee if you let someone in with $50,000, in 6 months, they're going to need it back.
Yeah.
They've miscalculated. They have an emergency.
That's cutting it too close.
It's way too close for us. We're not going to do it. We don't have to do it.
And you don't do this because Faye Bagby is not a Grinch. You do this really for their own protection.
I'm doing it to protect them from themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
And I'm doing it to protect us. I don't want someone coming and crying and saying, you know, we have this emergency. We need that $50,000 back. I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know.
Yeah.
So we don't want to do that.
Yes.
And you know, we've had several people that came, you know, and said, well, we're going to put $100,000 in. Then they came back with the wife, and they talked it over and said, no, we're going to put $300,000 in.
Really?
And yeah, because their level of comfort went up. And the husband asked the wife, are you comfortable with this? She said, I'm a lot more comfortable now than when you told me about it. Oh, my gosh.
Because I'm guessing he probably came to meet with you, went home, and explained something completely different than what you actually do.
That's exactly right. Well, he tried to explain it, but it didn't come out just exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's a good thing that they're going to talk to me. I'm going to tell them about the program and how it works. And I think they'll be comfortable after they both talk to me.
Now, what normally when you have somebody who has never invested with you before, they come talk to you for the first time, what do you find is normally, and I'm kind of putting you on the spot here, and I'm sure you don't have numbers worked up, but just generally speaking, what would your first-time investor typically invest? Would it be the minimum, or do they usually go a little bit more the first time?
Well, I'd have to put a pencil to it. But I would say a third of them do the minimum, first-time deal. They're just going to do 100. But then a lot of them come in, and they've already made up their mind before they ever came to see me. You know, they've been procrastinating about it, you know, about a year. And they come in, and they say, look, I've been laid off from my company. I need to move my money. Now, what is it going to take? I go, wait a minute. Let's see what you've got and how much you've got and what you understand about the program. And I slow them back down a little bit. So we sit there and we talk. And if they're qualified, you know, if they're qualified, I can go ahead and do it, you know, right then.
So when somebody says I've been laid off from my company, does that throw up a red flag that maybe they're about to start bleeding through all of the money that they have, or is that?
No, that's the first thing we're going to find out.
Okay.
If they say, I've been laid off, we go, okay, how much do you have? And sometimes they'll say, well, I've got $400,000. And one guy said, look, I've never been laid off more than 2 months. I go, well, all right then. And then if it looks like there is a problem, I'll say, well, let's wait a minute, you know. But most people have, well, they've changed jobs twice already, okay? So they're on their third job, so they've got old 401ks that we're going to move over, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they've in the last 4 years, they've changed jobs two or three times. So we're going to take that and take the old 401ks and bring those over and leave the one they've got where they are alone, okay?
Okay.
So a lot of times people do that. Even if they're laid off, they may have an old one that they've had another company for 13 years and never moved it. I have that happen all the time. And then a lot of people, not only do they have a 401k, they have an IRA at another place. So they may have two or three things that they could move over and that they have plenty to live on, you know, until they get a new job.
So now their assets are diversified enough so that they can, they're not living off of this.
That's right. They're not going to have to start using it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've only had one guy that after he moved over, he had hip replacement, and he cannot go back to work. So he's not invested. He's just sitting there with cash because of his hip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The guy, you know, brought his money over. It was quite a bit. But then he had a hip replacement, and I don't know if they messed it up or something happened. Anyway, he has not been able to work since. Usually, you know, after a hip, you know, 2 months later, you're back at work. But
yeah. This
guy has not been able to. So we have not done anything until he gives us the green light. You know, we know a lot about someone before we ever invest their money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we make sure that we know, you know, how much they've got, how much their salary, their bonuses, does their wife work, you know. Do they have two incomes, one income? And what is their net worth? We have some people that own their own businesses. So we don't worry about them. You know, when they come, we know they have the money.
So in what's the difference in minimum requirements between, say, an individual and a married couple?
Well, if a married couple comes in, they have to have either $1 million, you know, net worth without the house, or they have to have income of $300,000, the two of them together.
Okay.
So, and lots of times a husband himself has got, you know, $200,000 plus his bonus of $70,000 right there. So, you know, and then some of the wives make a lot of money. We have some wives that have separate IRAs with us. Their IRAs may be $200,000 or $300,000 all by themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we have some wives that I tell them they're working just for the fun of it because they're not making that much, you know, but they're happy. They're working, and that's all that counts, you know.
All right.
So.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number, once again.
It's 877-588-3330. And that's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. And they have done land office business, you know. Right here at Christmas, everybody's buying all those pretty things that they have.
That is your favorite store in the whole universe.
It is my favorite store because, you know, the one lady makes all the flower arrangements, does all that, and I love her flower arrangements. I love everything she does, and I buy a lot of those. Her Christmas decorations are to die for. I buy lots and lots. Every year I keep going back and getting more Christmas decorations.
You're going to run out of places to put them.
I think I'm crazy. I just keep going. Whether I need them or not, you know, I just keep on doing it.
It's the spirit of the holidays right there.
That's right. And, you know, Christmas is for kids, and I'm the biggest kid of all.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
It's good to be young at heart.
It is. And my grandchildren love Christmas, you know. And one of them went to see this week Christmas Land. Santa Claus Land. It was over in East Texas, and it was fabulous.
Really?
And, you know, little kids never forget things like that.
Oh,
you know?
No.
It was just a fabulous show, and I know that they will remember. And, you know, my little one that just turned 6 this week, she asked me very sincerely, Mimi, what do 6-year-olds do? And I said, well, I don't remember what 6-year-olds do. And I told her, I said, we can look it up on the internet. No, no, she said, that's not what I need. I said, well, how will you know? She said, I need to go talk to a 6-year-old. Oh, my gosh.
Brilliant.
It is. I mean, who would have thought that that when she turned 6, she didn't know what 6-year-olds do. She said, I need to find out.
Well, it's a good question.
It's an excellent question. I loved it. Oh, my gosh.
Do you have any special Christmas plans with the family or grandchildren?
No. You know, we will be eating at home this year. I will be hosting Christmas dinner and New Year's Eve. And I have got a lot of special things planned for them, and I think we'll have a good time.
Well, that sounds fantastic. A nice, quiet holiday at home with the family.
That's right, because usually we're out doing things. And I decided that, you know, we should do it at home. And if it's warm enough, we might get the little train out and ride it.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, that's wonderful. Those are the kinds of things that create special holiday memories.
It is. And, of course, we could go down and put ribbons on all the llamas. That would be an interesting thing.
Wow, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, it would. And they'd probably be a little surprised.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they would be.
That's right.
Oh, wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number once again.
It's 877-588-3330. And again, we're right next to Ivy Cottage. And again, we need to talk, in case somebody's just now tuning in, about not only did Whitworth, the money's in their bank accounts on Whitworth, $11 million. But then Lombardi has passed away, and Lombardi went into a coma about 3 weeks ago. It's a $6 million deal, and he only had the policy 6 months with us, and it's going to pay 25% for 6 months. That's fabulous, isn't it?
That is incredible. It's almost unheard of.
It is. I mean, I'm really proud of it, I can tell you that. I don't remember ever having one this big, you know, $6 million total, that they passed away in 6 months. You know, it's unheard of.
So how do when you look at these policies, I know that there's a certain criteria that you look for before you even bid on them. So what kinds of things are you looking for? For somebody who has never done this before, never invested in life insurance policies, how do they know that you know that these are good policies to invest in?
Well, we're going to look, first of all, when I start out, it'll say, this cancer occurred in 2015, or it started in 2016. I just bid on one this week. It started out with lung cancer. Then it developed in the tongue, and then it went to the ribs. And that's a sure sign. It has metastasized because it's moved around. It's already in several places. And then we look to see what kind of treatment have they done. Have they been able to operate? Is it inoperable? And is it stage four? There's some cancers that are only stage three, but most of them are stage four. If it's stage four, we know they're not going to make it. Then it's a matter of how much involved is it. You know, if it's just in the lungs, it's not as serious. But if it's already moved to the ribs, if it's moved to this one that I bid on was tongue and lung, which is unusual. But they start checking your neck for lymph nodes. They're checking all your lymph nodes. If it's already in the lymph nodes, I want that policy. And I bid on one this week, and I told everybody it's a sleeper. This is a sleeper. That means it's a good policy, and it doesn't look that good on the surface, but I guarantee it is.
How do you know? What got your attention?
It was in too many places, yeah. And they're saying, well, the treatment has helped. And I thought, it's helped. It's incurable. And so I bid it, and I bid it pretty hard because I think it is a sleeper, and it'll come in early.
So you see things, because you've been doing this for 15, 16 years, so you see things that people don't.
Well, I don't know if I see things they don't or if they didn't take time, you know, to really study what the doctor's saying. And remember, if it's $1 million or more, we're getting two opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reading two different sets of opinions from doctors, from oncologists, and see what they're saying about it. You know, now then, if they're in clinical trials, I try not to buy it. Clinical trials will delay their death. I'm telling you that. We have one that's went over. That's why it went over. They went to clinical trials, and most of these, they cannot get in clinical trials, and we know that, and they're good policies. But if they can get into a clinical trial, lots of times it'll keep them alive, you know, several months longer. So, you know, that's the things I try to avoid.
So,
and then if it's in remission, I'm not buying it.
Mm.
Yeah, we know it's coming back, but if it's in remission, it's going to be a longer policy. Longer than we want to stay, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're looking for that. If it says it's went into remission, there's no sign of cancer, I'm not buying it. I'm not even going to touch it.
Red flag. Walk away.
That is a red flag. Get away from it.
So when you say you look at two different opinions, what do you do if the opinions don't match? Do you take one side over another, or do you run away?
No, we'll blend it together. We'll blend it together. If one says 30 months and one says 25 months, we'll probably put it out at 27 months.
Okay.
Okay? But if there's a long difference between the two, we won't buy it because we know there's something going on.
Okay.
If one says 45 and one 25, walk away. Don't touch it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's too big a difference.
Because I'm sure it's pretty easy to look at it and assess the situation when they match, but I wasn't sure, you know, if they don't match, is that an automatic red flag? But you kind of merge them and kind of massage the whole thing.
Yeah, and we tell everybody we've merged these two opinions, you know, together. You know, when that happens.
So when somebody, say I went in next week there was a policy like that the opinions didn't match, would you go over both of them and then we kind of weigh it before we invest, or how does that process work?
Yeah, we would certainly want to go over it again and again, you know, to see why they don't match. Does one of them have more medical history than the other one? Is something left out of one of them, or is it just it's the same, but they just have a different opinion?
Mm-hmm.
And so you look for all those things, telltale signs, and you know, see what they're really talking about.
Okay. So when people invest, they have a very clear, a very wide, broad analysis of what's going on with the policyholder.
That's right. I send them the reports in full so they can read everything. They may not understand it, but they can read it. And I want them to know everything I know.
And if they don't understand it, that's where you come in. You'll sit down and go over everything line by line as many times as it takes so that they understand what they're truly getting into.
That's right. And they can come in and we'll go over it, or they can call me on the phone and we'll go over it and see, you know. Lots of times people are new, they'll just say, well, I don't like that one. I'll go, what do you mean you don't like it? I've fixed it out. I mean, you know, I'm going, don't be crazy. We were doing some earlier in the year, and there's a couple of people said, we don't like that. We're not going in. And I found out about it, and I called them. I said, are you crazy? You know, I mean, I picked this out. You know it's a good policy.
Yeah.
Don't be silly.
If it's there on your desk for people to invest in, you've already gone through it with a fine-tooth comb, and it's good.
That's exactly right. So wow. If I bought the thing, you know I like it, or I wouldn't have bought it.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, you know.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. I know every Saturday morning around this time we start getting into trivia. We're a little bit late with our trivia, but I still want to get into it because you are full of all kinds of useful, valuable information that, at least for me, is all brand new.
Well, I was thinking about old-time Christmases back in the 1900s.
Mm.
How do you think it worked out? What do you think they did for Christmas? Remember, this was a rural Texas. I mean, we didn't have a lot of stores. It was a long way to a store, and most of the people couldn't afford it if they went to the store.
Yeah.
They only bought the things they couldn't grow on the farms and ranches. They only bought things probably once or twice a year. So I thought about all this. The first thing you saw was they had a lone star, usually on the top of that tree.
Uh-huh.
And then where did you think they got the tree? Had you thought about this? These were old cedars. Now, you're not from Texas, but we have cedars all out in the hills in Texas, you know, on the ranches, everywhere, these old cedar trees. And then that people would go out, and they'd cut them down. Now, and lots of times old trees were sagging and one-sided, and they'd just try to get the best one they could. And they'd cut them down, drag them back, you know, to the house behind the horses. But then sometimes they didn't even have those. So they would take tumbleweeds and make a tree out of tumbleweeds.
Really?
Yes, they did. Now then, if they were really poor, they'd go out there on those ranches and they'd get them some cactus. They decorated the cactuses.
Wow.
Yes. And the other thing is they would use barbed wire. And they'd use the barbed wire and they'd make wreaths out of it.
You know,
can
I had
you imagine?
I had never thought about that.
Then they would take old boots and take a boot and put in the middle of the barbed wire to make the wreath. And then you have to think about Santa Claus, okay? When it came to Santa Claus, he didn't come to Texas with reindeer. He came riding a longhorn steer. And that's what they used to pull the sleighs, was a longhorn. And then when it came time to food, Well, they had wild turkeys, so they smoked those turkeys, you know, for Christmas lunch. Mm. Then they had birds, because, you know, we have all these wild birds. They would roast birds. And then there was another type of Texan. They would take a big steer, and they'd put it on a pit in the backyard out there, and they would barbecue it. So that's where the barbecue from Texas came from, was the early years.
Really?
Yes. So those were things. Then they would take popcorn and pop it, and they'd put it all, string it at night in front of the fire all over the tree. That was their decorations.
Wow.
Yeah, and then they would string red chilies over their trees.
I bet that was pretty.
Depending on which part of Texas you were from.
Yeah.
The Rio Grande Valley and all that down there, they would have used red chilies. Then mistletoe. If you realize, mistletoe grows on everything. People hate it till Christmas time because old mistletoe gets on your mesquite trees, gets on everything. But at Christmas, you know, they're actually going to gather this mistletoe up and use it in the homes, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But and cowboys, back then the cowboys would serenade everybody as part of Christmas.
Wow.
And then the cowboys would come into the little bitty towns and go to church with everybody. So the people would invite these cowboys home with them. And, of course, they're tickled to death. They haven't had a home-cooked meal, you know, in a year.
Yeah.
And the people's kids looked forward to the cowboys because the cowboys would find all these things to put in their stockings for them. And back then, you know, that was a big deal if you could get something in your stocking. And then, of course, there was all kinds of fruit, you know, growing here. They would dry that fruit. They would make, you know, all kinds of things. And they had a little bit of sugar. I don't know how much, but I know it was not abundant. So it was a big deal if they used the last of their sugar for Christmas.
You know, I can visualize all this in my head as you tell this.
Yeah.
I'm starting to actually get a picture in my head.
Yeah, and this is the way it was in the early 1900s. You know, they lived a long way out, and the women, you know, they were using sackcloth, you know, to make dresses, to make bonnets and things for the family. And everything that they got, as you know, was homemade.
Yeah.
They didn't have store-bought clothes, I can tell you. Everything was made. And, of course, you know, the boot people in these little towns, you know, they made the custom boots for people. They didn't even know they were custom back then. They were, you know, they'd say, you know, I need a pair of boots, and they'd make it. Or if you need a saddle, you know, they were going to make you a saddle.
Yeah.
The leather people were good back then, and most of them were Spanish that made the boots. And that made saddles and whatever, belts, whatever you needed in the way of leather.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? But, you know, it's amazing that the cowboys mixed with the other people. And, you know, they've rode hard all year. They've been out in the weather, but they come to church. And that's amazing that even back then, the cowboys came to church on Christmas.
Just goes to show that everybody can get together during the holidays.
It certainly does. That every kind of person, you know, they met in church because that's where everybody went to meet each other,
yeah.
You know, to gather. And then, of course, the serenades were so neat that the cowboys did with their guitars, you know, to all these people. They would come to the ranch early in the morning, and they'd serenade the people before they ever got up.
I can literally picture that in my head right now.
I mean, and then I can picture the Longhorns pulling the sleighs. I don't have any trouble seeing that.
Oh, that's the best right there.
And then when people went to visit another ranch, everybody got either in the wagon, you know, the children and mom and dad, or they all rode their horses, and they would ride their horses over to see the other people. And
wow.
It was an all-day affair. You know, you didn't just go over there and stay an hour. You went, you spent the day, and rode back at sunset. So it was an amazing time in our country, especially in Texas.
Yeah, it was, you know, back when it was, you know, it was all about, you know, people and not stuff.
That's exactly right. And if you got a wagon, you know, your daddy had carved it. It took months, you know, to get the wood wheels and every part of it, you know, that you could use. And of course, all the toys were wooden and they were handmade. The dolls were handmade. And a lot of those were out of corn shucks when he first started.
Really?
You know? Yes. They didn't have another way to make a doll.
I didn't know that.
So we have come a long way.
Yeah, we have. Now you just go to the store and buy one in a box.
That's right. You go and buy everything. and now if you've got a homemade a toy that was actually, you know, as I call it, homemade, it would cost a fortune.
Yeah.
You know, the stores would charge you so much if you got, you know, handmade real toys. And instead of the plastic ones or, you know, the kind that they make nowadays.
Yeah, the ones in the see-through box.
Yes, and I wanted a dollhouse for one of my grandchildren. And I ordered it from one place. They sent me a little note. We're sorry. We've made all the dollhouses we're going to make this year. You're out of luck.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. And then another place said, I'm sorry. We cannot complete your order. And I said, my gosh, you know, there's not even enough dollhouses to go around.
Oh, wow. I didn't know there was a run on dollhouses right now.
Yeah, there's a run on dollhouses. And, you know, a lot of the other things are plastic.
Yeah.
They're not wood, even.
No.
It's amazing time that times have changed so much.
Yeah, that is the truth.
And nowadays, children get so much, they don't appreciate it. Like, I can tell you that the children in 1903... would appreciate just some candy,
yeah,
you know, in their stocking,
or some fruit,
Yes, if they got an apple or an orange, my gosh, they appreciate it.
Yeah.
And I remember years ago hearing people say that's what they loved about their schools. They would give out oranges and apples and candy canes to the kids.
Yeah,
you know, for Christmas, and that was a big deal. You took that home with you.
That's fantastic.
So
wow,
That's what it was like.
Yeah, times have really, really changed.
It has changed. And nowadays, if a person went back and said, I want to do that, can you imagine what it would cost to recreate it?
it cost a fortune.
It would cost a fortune to recreate a true Texas Christmas.
Yeah.
It would be amazing.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number, once again,
it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're next to Ivy Cottage, by the way.
And before we wrap up, you had said that you have 45 policies that you're bidding on right now. If somebody wants to get in on that, what kind of time frame are they looking at? What do they need to get together? And when should they plan on coming to see you?
They should come in the middle of the month, because we should have everything wrapped up by then and ready to proceed on all these new policies.
Middle of January?
Yes. I'm thinking 12th to the 15th.
Okay.
But they can make their appointments earlier. They don't have to wait, you know, to make the appointment. We need to know when they're coming in. Remember, always make an appointment.
Yeah.
You know, in 15, we had lots of people that would just drop in. You know, they just figured I wasn't busy, and they would drop in.
Faye's actually doing things, not just sitting there waiting for you to come in.
Faye was actually working. In 15, I probably had an appointment every hour on the hour.
Oh, my.
You know, I mean, we were really, really busy. Of course, it slowed down in 16 because of the oil industry. But, of course, oil is going back up, and that's going to really help everybody.
Yeah.
And that big oil find is really going to help everybody for the next 20 years.
Oh, boy, I can't wait till they start, you know, tapping into that.
I'm telling you, it's going to change Midland, Odessa.
Yeah.
It will not be the little country town that you think of it.
Oh, no. Things are going to boom.
It will. It's going to be a big boom, and a lot of people are going to make a lot of money, and they will retire early, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it will really be a big boom. It's going to be one that will last many years and won't play out this time.
Well, Faye,
I don't think it will.
Thank you so much for your information, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.